It'll be warm here soon. Hang with us. Let's head down to Murfreesboro. Miss Jordan Williams. You want a personal trainer? He's your guy.
Have we got our guy, my guy, Jordan, on here?
I think so, from TriFit. Jordan, what's going on?
Hey, not much, guys. How are you doing?
What can you do for a couple of old geezers to get them in shape? Let's start there.
Not a lot, I hate to tell you.
Yeah, I figure.
You got to be motivated.
I figure we were lost causes. Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Uh-huh. Well, I hate to tell you, there's a shelf life for everything. So.
All right, interview's over. Jordan wins.
So we've got a lot of people. The premise of the show is obviously talking a lot about youth sports. And so you see a lot of youth come through you, and they're looking to get – because these are things that, you know, I didn't have growing up. But we didn't have personal trainers. We didn't have all the great things that our kids are able to do today. So I'm just going to start with some generic stuff. Jordan, you're the expert. You're going to kind of help us guide through some of this information. So let's say, okay, like the Rigsby's, they have three boys. Let's go with 8, 11, and 13. Mm-hmm. Can those three ages work out with you together? Do you have to do things separately? How does that work when you're dealing with, in this case, we'll go with an 8-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 13-year-old?
Okay. Well, that's a really good question. I actually get posed those situations a lot. So really the basis and the model of what we want to try to do here at TriFit is long-term athletic development. So that means different things for everybody in different phases of their development. So, I mean, you take an 8-year-old, you know, there are some things you can do, but the biggest thing I encourage for really young participants is, you know, play multiple sports. Play as much as you can. You know, a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, they're starting to come into their bodies. They're starting to mature a little bit, you know. And the biggest thing is what we try to do is teach everybody, regardless if it's an 8, a 10, or a 13-year-old, the foundations, the basics of human movement, running form, how to squat, how to hinge your hips. For a lot of people, some of the games look, you know, speed and agility games look pretty simple. And, you know, at the end of the day, they are. But, you know, the more you can get kids moving and the more you can teach the foundations and the fundamentals, the better you can set up for their later development. And that's always going to be the goal. You know, even if I get a kid who's, you know, in high school, you know, same principles still apply, but you got to look at where he's at and where he needs to go.
What about muscle building? Like, what is there like a proper age? You know, we always hear like, you know, like you shouldn't be throwing a curveball before fill in the blank age, you know, depending on who you're talking to. What about muscle building? Like what is the right age to begin in that department?
Well, I mean, once again, you got to look at it kind of case by case.
Depends, you know, on the kid's size.
Yeah. I mean, you look, you know, at the end of the day, you got biological age and chronological age. So a biological age, everybody has been to that travel baseball or AAU basketball tournament, and you're like, we got to get the birth certificates out because there's no way
right.
That kid is 12.
Yep.
You know, everybody's been there. So that's a situation where a kid's biological age is ahead of his chronological age, you know. And a lot of it just depends, you know, when you get a kid in, you know, when they're young and they're not hitting that, you know, that full-grown man-type body yet or even on the beginning stages of that, really what you're doing is you're training the nervous system. You know, you're getting their nervous system or thinking of it as like the building a faster, more productive computer. You know what I mean? You know, getting their nervous system to where it's more fast-twitch in nature. It's the fast-twitch muscles are more excitable. You know, and then, you know, when they start hitting some of that maturity, and you obviously, you know, I'm not going to go into details, but everybody knows when that happens, then that's when you start packing on the muscles. One of the best things I tell parents is it's no different when you get your kids started in an early youth foundation strength and conditioning program than putting them in a really good pre-K program, you know, where you work on your fine motor skills and your phonics. You know, it's still foundationally setting them up for whenever they get ready to start taking that next step in their development.
Awesome stuff, Jordan. Of course, Matt here. Hello, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, Thanks for having me.
I'm sitting here making notes as you talk. Number one, hinge the hips. We have to keep talking about the importance of opening up the hips for our athletes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to speak to myself here. We missed the boat on the importance of it. Can you name an actual sport or an actual movement where your hips are not involved?
No.
Exactly. So will you expand upon that a little bit regarding the importance of the hips? I mean, I'm a terrible bowler, but you got to bend over to bowl. Mm-hmm. And the action of bending over.
Well, some don't, but you should. Yes,
I'm off a bowler. Okay, yeah, I'm admitting that. But hips are involved. There's nothing you can do successfully without the importance of engagement of the hips. So can you expand upon that, please, Jordan?
Yeah.
Educate us a little bit. You know, especially age development wise. You know, because I think there is miss number two. I've got a number two that I want you to hit on. Also, it's Wynn's 8 years old. Excuse me, 7 years old. He's not going to squat 140 pounds. No one's saying that. But things that you can do to make sure that his hips are activated, because he loves soccer. Can't play soccer without opening up of the hips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of it is what we're seeing with a lot of youth athletes. And, you know, I've been doing this for since 2009, so however long that is. One of the things that really hurts with the kids these days is, man, there's too much sitting going on. You know, I mean, kids aren't outside running, playing, you know, climbing trees, riding bikes like they used to. So, you know, a lot of kids I get that come in here that aren't exposed to all that kind of stimulus, just, you know, from moving more. I mean, think about, you know, 80 to, you know, 160, 100 years ago. I mean, a lot of people did manual labor jobs, even at an early age. I mean, my dad grew up on a farm. So, you know, kids sit for 8 hours a day in school. So you get kids that come in and they have incredibly weak glutes. They don't know how to separate their hips or do what's called a hip hinge. And, you know, if you can't hinge and separate your hips, it really puts you behind the eight ball as far as your development. So the biggest thing that we do with a lot of our youth getting in here at the early ages, you know, we do a lot of ground-based exercises, bridges, crawls, duck walks, leopard crawls, bear crawl. I mean, you name it. Single leg glute bridges. You know, you develop them a little bit from the ground, because even if you look at how we develop from, you know, infants, babies, toddlers, you know, it's that ground time where it drives a lot of neural activity, and it helps really wake up the human system and how to move. You know, and think about we're always in shoes. Nobody's running around barefoot like they used to. So even for like an 8-year-old, like I said, once again, I think this is my own personal opinion. I think the foundational sport a kid should get in is some type of gymnastic sport, and then some type of running sport. Preferably, you know, something like soccer is perfect because it develops spatial awareness, foot, you know, vision, and then, you know, get them into a hand-eye sport, you know, a baseball or whatever, basketball after that. But even for, you know, our 8-year-olds that come in, you know, we sprint every single time our kids come in. We change directions, we squat, we work on a hip hinge. Some kids get it like that. Some kids struggle with it. And a lot of that's just not being exposed to enough of those patterns and movements. But I do agree with you when it comes to not seeing good hips with athletes. Some kids naturally have it. Some kids it needs to be cultivated. But once again, it goes back to that model. You fit, you find where they fit in that model of their development. You plug them. You accentuate the good of what they're doing. And then you help work on their weaknesses.
Jordan Williams on the line with us. Personal training at TriFit down in Murfreesboro. So what is maybe a question that you're asked most frequently, Jordan? What would that be?
Great question, Darren.
Yeah. One of the questions I ask all the time, you know, when can you see results? That's definitely one of the questions you ask. I get often.
Sure.
And, you know, a lot of it just depends on, you know, what the own individual person's athletic ceiling is and, you know, how old they are. Those are some of the biggest questions, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, what I tell parents at, you know, the purpose of what you're doing here, yes, is to get your kid better at sports, but it's also the other intangibles of the, what the weight room brings that helps bring about better people, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, everybody, like you guys, has shelf lives with their athletic careers. Some's shorter, some's longer, but, I mean, at the end of the day, if you teach discipline, dedication, ownership, autonomy, follow through, those are the things that I feel like will carry people later on in life. So that's definitely some of the basic questions I get. You know, how long? It just depends. I mean, you hate to say that because people feel like you're popping out a little bit, but it's the honest God truth.
Yeah, we live in a microwave society, though, so my guess is everybody wants it instantaneously.
Well, I expect...
Jordan, if I come to you one time, will I look like this?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll get my magic wand out afterwards.
We do live in an absolute, immediate success society.
Patience is not exactly a word a lot of people... It's not in our vocabulary much these days.
No, it's not. Now... Jordan, I love you. I'm going to put you on the spot here because I need you to educate me and our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You said athletic ceiling. Expand upon that a little bit. And if you could, if I can go the right way here, can you mix that with skill development too? So where are we at athletic ceiling-wise? Obviously, bigger, faster, stronger. But how do you mold that? Again, you're teaching me how to be a coach here, so that's why I'm asking this question, if I'm rambling. How do you also mix that with skill development? Because I can get you where you need to be skill-wise better, but at the end of the day, if you're built like Matt Rigsby, you're built like Matt Rigsby. Let's just be bitter honest about it. I mean, it is what it is. So help me out there if I've made sense, Jordan.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, people are built for certain activities. You know, your 6'10" kids are built to play basketball. You know, those are what, you know, I mean, I call them the one percenters. You know, the guys who make it to the college out of the high school typically are a one percenter. The guys who make it to the pro are the 1% of the 1%. So, you know, you can't change your genetics. Your genetics are what they are. You know, if you're going to be a 5'10" kid who's most people are 50-50 with their fiber type distribution, so slow twitch and fast twitch, for the most part, people are 50-50. Now, there is the intermediate fibers that you could maybe get to be more type 2, twitchy, explosive. That's when it comes to kind of getting as close to you can as your genetic ceiling. You know, we'll take vertical jump, for instance, right? You know, I mean, somebody may get to the top of their top with a vertical of 35. Well, you know, and Matt, you'll know this because he just stopped by and saw me for a second. Zion Swader, his vertical ceiling is higher than, you know, 99% of most people that walk into a gym. You know, this guy's getting like 43s, 44s on a vertical, you know. So that's kind of where you kind of have to help steer people, like, look, you know, at the end of the day, you know, your ceiling is going to be different. But when you can get as close to that athletic ceiling as possible through the training and through the appropriate methods, that's really what it's all about. You know, and, you know, there's another kid, Braden Kaiser, I work with. He started at 10 years old. And I think if he didn't start at 10 years old, his athletic ceiling would have never been raised as high as it was by the time he got to be a senior. But a lot of it just depends on when you get the kids, you know, what the genetics are, you know, I mean, what did mommy and daddy do? If mom and dad both played Division I sports, I mean, there's a good chance your kids got a good chance, you know? But you know, at the end of the day, it's one of those where you have to step in that journey and you have to give it all you can and then let the chips fall where they may.
So, Jordan, if people are listening to this, and whether they're adults and if it's for them or if it's for their kids, and they would like to go down this path with you at TriFit Personal Training, how would they get in touch with you?
The best way to get in contact with me is you can obviously shoot me a text message, or you can shoot me an email. Email's usually the best. TriFitJordan@yahoo.com. That's a good way to get in touch. We have a website, TriFitPersonalTraining.com. That's another good way to reach out, and somebody from our team will get in contact with you. Obviously I have a Twitter, I have a Instagram, I have all the social medias. That's another way to find me. Williams JM, I believe it's 10 is my Instagram handle, and Twitter handle is something similar as well. But that's the best way to get in contact with me. Email, Instagram, social media. I try to be as with it as possible. I'm not going to lie, I'm a bad millennial. I'm not on it as much as some.
I'm with you, but if anybody's listening to Jordan, come see me. I'll be glad to give them your contact. I've seen firsthand what you can do for a young athlete. I've seen it.
Appreciate it.
There you go, personal endorsement. Jordan, really appreciate you joining the show. Thanks for doing this. We look forward to talking to you down the road, being a part of this show.
Yes,
thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Jordan, appreciate my guy. Thank you, buddy.
Jordan Williams, TriFit Personal Training in Murfreesboro. There you